As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm about to ask a question which strikes fear into the heart of every congregation living to a preacher. Does anybody know what time it is? Because my watch stopped this morning. So I have no idea what time it is or how long I've gone on for. And what date is it? 19th, okay. What about what geological epoch is it? Anybody know? Any geologists out there? Now, there is actually some debate about this. You'll be interested to hear. Have we left the Holocene and entered the Anthropocene? That is the question. You see, geological epochs, they're divided up by things that you can see in the geological record. So there was a change when there was a big meteorite hit that was and it wiped out all the dinosaurs, and you can see that in the geological record. So the question that geologists are kind of wrestling with is, have what mankind done, Anthropocene, Anthropos, people, with our nuclear testing and our carbon stuff, have we left enough of a layer in the geological record that any geologist in 10 million years, if we're still around, looking back could see, oh, well, that was when mankind really made an impact on the planet on a geological level? Maybe layers of plastic in the rock sediment, that kind of thing. Those are the kind of things geologists talk about. Now, what about the theological age? What age are we living in? You see, over the last couple of weeks, we've been reflecting on this time between times. The time between Jesus' incarnation, between when he was born as a human being, and between his return, when he returns in glory. And through that time, we've thought about us preparing the way of the Lord, and we've thought about us walking the way that the Lord has prepared for us in this time between times, in this time of waiting. And we've seen the kingdom of God come near, but not yet break through in all its fullness. We are in the time of now and not yet. We live in the age of the new covenant. It's made in Jesus' blood on the cross, which we celebrate at communion. The old covenant is done away with, and we live in the age of the new covenant. There's lots of different ways of answering this question. What theological age do we live in at the moment? But this morning, I'd just like to encourage us to focus on one that was suggested, I think, by today's readings. I'd like to suggest that we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking that I'd got my church calendar a bit mixed up. Hold on a minute, you might say. We think about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, not at Advent. You're at the wrong time of the year, Tim. I was at a prayer meeting for church leaders about a month or so ago, and we were thinking about the possibility of doing a town-wide event next Pentecost in 2022. So I turned to Leslie Burke, who's the pastor of Telford Pentecost Elim Church, Pentecostal Church, and I said, "You're a Pentecostal, you should know when Pentecost is." And he said, "For Pentecostals, every day is Pentecost." And I'd just like us to take that on, just for a bit this morning. You see, I do believe that not just for members of Pentecostal denominations, but actually for every Christian, there is a sense in which every day is Pentecost because we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit suddenly sprang into existence at Pentecost, but I believe that the ministry of Jesus on earth was the introduction to a change in the way that the Holy Spirit works on earth. You see, we know that the Holy Spirit was there at the creation of the world. It says in Genesis 1, we read of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, hovering over the darkness and the chaos, being intimately involved in the creation of all things. And then through the through the Old Testament, we read of the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the Holy Spirit, working in and through particular individuals to bring about the purposes of God. And we, of course, read prophecies of what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the future. And one of those was in our reading from the book of Isaiah this morning. Now, for those of you who've been here the last 2 weeks, this bit might sound quite familiar. And in fact, I feel like a bit of a stuck record. Because once again, we are in a portion of Isaiah in which the writer is sharing hope with God's people in the time of turmoil. Lots of warnings, and then these occasional passages of hope, like roses between thorns. And again, as we have in the other passages of Isaiah we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, we see in the historical record some of the prophecy fulfilled. So, in this case, Assyria was cut down to size. The exiles did return. There are elements of this prophecy, as there have been from the previous 2 weeks, that have been fulfilled. And later on, Jesus, the son of David, an offshoot of the stump of Jesse, did rise in righteousness and faithfulness. But we have not yet seen the knowledge of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. We haven't seen the lion eating straw like the ox. You see, we live in the now and not yet. We live in the between time. And how does Isaiah describe the one who is going to bring about this change, the launch of this era? Isaiah says he is the one that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon. So now let's skip forward to Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus' life. This morning we lit our four Advent candles. We lit our fourth one to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, obedient to God's will. And in these few verses, we read of Jesus' conception. And who appears twice as the agent of conception? The Holy Spirit. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the link back to Isaiah is made even more explicit in what Matthew writes in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. All this, including the Holy Spirit's role in the conception of Jesus, took place to fulfill the prophet's words. And as we read through Jesus' life, we see this theme repeating. We've seen the Holy Spirit there at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. And we see the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus goes to his cousin John at the Jordan, and what happens? He's baptized. What happens as he comes up out of the water? There's very few things that all four of the gospel writers write about. And one of those few things is the fact that the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus at his baptism, came on him to equip and empower him for his public ministry. Now, after his baptism, Jesus goes out into the wilderness, into the desert, for 40 days without eating and drinking to be tempted by the devil. And he resists that temptation, and then he returns to Nazareth. And Luke records one of his first sermons. And what is the very first thing that Luke records as Jesus saying in the synagogue in his public ministry? It's a reading from the prophet Isaiah. And what does he say? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus is clearly, through all the Gospels, through all this, clearly presented as the one who fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, of the one who will rise up from the stump of Jesse to judge in righteousness, to bring peace to the world, because the Spirit of God is on him. And part of what Jesus did was his teaching. And part of it was his call to people to follow him. And part of it is his death and resurrection. That's what it means for Jesus to be Messiah. And part of it, I believe, is the beginning of the age of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus explains to his friends and followers in the final days of his life on earth that the Father is going to send them another helper, another advocate, to help them, to be with them forever, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes to speak to them after he'd returned to life, after his resurrection, Jesus tells his followers to remain in Jerusalem, to wait for the gift that had been promised. And they wait. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on all of the believers, equipping and empowering them to tell the wonderful acts of God. And then comes the account of the growth of the early church, the book of Acts. The Acts of whom? We often know it as the Acts of the Apostles, don't we? There's at least one major commentator who suggests that at least as a corrective, we could think of it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because as you read through it, yes, we find the apostles doing things, but actually we find all those things the apostles doing because of the equipping and enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Furthering the kingdom of God, pointing to Jesus. And we now live in this age, the age in which the Holy Spirit is active and working, present in every Christian. So what? So what does this mean for Advent? I've gone all enthusiastic off to Pentecost, but we're still in Advent. What does it mean for Advent as we prepare to celebrate the beginning of this age and as we wait for it to end? Well, one of the prayers of Advent as we look forward to Jesus' return echoes the prayer at the end of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, we wait for Jesus' return. Come, Lord Jesus. But as we wait, there's another prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of this age. And over the last couple of weeks, we thought about what it means practically for us to live in this Advent season. The way that we prepare for the Lord and walking in the way that Jesus has prepared for us. And you see, in my experience, in both those things, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible. With my strength and my resources, I can't level mountains or raise valleys, physical ones or spiritual or emotional or behavioral ones. The things in my heart and our community that need changing, leveling, preparing for Jesus, I can't do that in my strength. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us who does that work. Left to ourselves, we can't follow the way of Jesus, the route, the road. We can't walk the way Jesus walked. But we aren't on our own. We have each other. But more than that, we have another companion. We now have the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit's presence, his equipping and empowering of us, that we can prepare the way of the Lord, that we can walk the way of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that grows the fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control that we need to show the kingdom values now as we wait for Jesus to come and bring it in all its fullness. In these COVID times when we're uncertain and we don't know what the best thing to do is and people around us feel anxious and people are getting angry with each other, surely it's those fruit of the Holy Spirit that we really need to live well now. It's only by the Holy Spirit working in and through us that we can do this. It's the same Spirit that was on Jesus, the same Spirit was on Jesus that gives us the wisdom and the understanding, the counsel, the power, the knowledge, the fear of the Lord. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, recorded in the Gospel of John, we must be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit brought Jesus to birth. And the Holy Spirit brings us to new birth so that we can live in this new age as faithful followers of Jesus and on into the age to come. when we see Jesus return in all his glory, bringing the kingdom in all its fullness. Come, Lord Jesus, and come, Holy Spirit. Amen.